The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Welcome to the Todd Starnes Show, sponsored by Legacy Precious Metals. There's never been a better time to invest in precious metals. Visit LegacyPMInvestments.com. That's LegacyPMInvestments.com.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us, that's right, I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh yeah.
Wherever you're listening across this, the greatest nation God ever blessed, welcome to a Monday edition of the Todd Starnes radio program. On more than 100 outstanding radio stations coast to coast and streaming live online at toddstarnes.com. Hello, fellow patriots. I'm Jeff Stein filling in for Todd today. He's having the cataract surgery. We'll keep you posted if we know anything during the program, but thoughts and prayers with Todd as he takes care of that issue. Happy to be here. I'm Jeff Stein filling in for Todd from my home base at News Talk 1540 KXEL in Cedar Rapids and Waterloo, Iowa, the 50,000-watt blowtorch, scorching middle America with accurate news and reasonable views. And in this hour, let's hear from you. Same number as always, it's 844-747-8868. That's how you can connect with us in the Liberty University studio, 844-747-8868. Coming up in our second hour, we'll speak with Maryland Republican Congressman Dr. Andy Harris. Also in our second hour, attorney and news analyst Dr. Wendy Patrick will be along, and we'll get a check from the swamp with Sarah Westwood of the Washington Examiner midway through our third hour of this three-hour daily appointment with you. So I was struck by something, and it was the fact that we hit the one-year anniversary of the Joe Biden presidency. I'm not sure if he's aware of it, given how many times just last week alone he again referred to Kamala Harris as President Harris, but that's no matter. And I tried to think about this earlier today. Now, again, I'm here in the state of Iowa, and we live and breathe presidential politics because of the Iowa Presidential Precinct caucuses. And even as a high schooler, with a little notepad in hand, I covered my first caucus in 1980. It was the 1980 cycle, so this was late 1979. Just a high school kid, just starting out writing for newspapers, doing some radio work. And so I've paid attention to this kind of thing, obviously even before then, but this is something that I really, really pay attention to, is presidential politics. And I cannot think of another time, and perhaps one of you can, but I cannot think of another time when, after 1 year of a president's term, there was so much conversation about whether that person would run for re-election. And if not that person, then who? Now, obviously, if the president in question, Ronald Reagan, Bill Clinton, George W. Bush, if the president in question has been reelected to a second term, then often we start thinking about, okay, what's next, right? I mean, the jockeying for position is strong at that point. Very often, in the case of Reagan, in the case of Clinton, the vice president for the 8 years is next man up. I just cannot think of a time when you have a sitting president and so many are saying, wonder if this person will be the nominee, and if not, who? Now, you do have unique circumstances. Joe Biden's age is obviously a factor. older than some of the other examples I gave. His mental and physical health is also a factor, partly because of age, but partly because of what we see. When we see him on these rare occasions, and again, don't look for him after the dinner hour. If you want to hear a presidential speech or you want to hear a news conference, you better take the afternoon off from work, because that's the only time that they do these. A few reasons why, and I'll come back to that in a minute. But there's all this talk about who are the Democrats going to run in 2024? I mean, we had speculated on this program in the past that the game plan was that Joe was just a filler for 4 years. This was the way to get someone like Kamala Harris, who has radical views, get her in position, because it's clear she can't win election. I mean, she didn't even wait for the first votes to be cast in the 2020 primary and caucus season before she folded the tent and got out of town, leaving debt and unhappy staffers behind. So if those who are pulling the strings wanted to see her take power, the idea was that Biden would serve a few years, step aside, she would then have the power of incumbency and maybe be able to win an election on her own right without any cheating. Well, clearly, she has demonstrated the level of competence as vice president, that same level of competence that she did in other stages of her public life, namely low competence. Namely, nothing outstanding whatsoever. Lately, namely, not even being able to form a complete sentence. Been hanging around her boss a little too often. In any event, you have these Democrats who say they're not pleased with Biden. It was an anti-Trump vote. So they don't want him back. The poll numbers show that. They don't want him to run in 2024. They sure don't want her to run, because there's nothing there. Which, of course, circles back to those folks who have held the dream of Hillary. Which, again, as I've seen many comment, if the best the Democrats can do right now, with a failing, ailing president and an incompetent vice president, as they look to the future, if the best they can do is look back to Hillary Clinton, that is a part devoid of ideas, devoid of individuals, and really devoid of purpose, other than defeating Republicans. But I just cannot think of a time when we were so focused on someone in their first term and how to find a replacement for them. And this is the situation that we find ourselves in with Joe Biden. Now, according to the president's schedule for today, just as we finish this fine radio program at 3 o'clock Eastern, 2 o'clock Central, the president is to hold a secure video call with European leaders. And the White House says it is part of their close consultation and coordination with our transatlantic allies and partners in response to Russia's military buildup on Ukraine's borders. And to show you he's serious, the president will be in the Situation Room for that. And so he's going to get on the Zoom or the whatever hookup they have, I don't know, with the European Commission president, the European Council president, the French president, Chancellor of Germany, Prime Minister of Italy, NATO Secretary General, President of Poland, Prime Minister of the UK. That's going to be a fun little bunch. And they have blocked 2 whole hours for it, or at the very least, the president does not have anything else on his agenda for 2 hours. So there might be nap time in there. Might be time for a little break for tapioca mid-afternoon. I don't know. In any event, I cannot imagine that the president, this president of the United States, holding this call, what do we do about Ukraine? Who on that call is going to look to him for guidance? Who on this call is going to look to him for strength? This is the man who less than a week ago said, well, you know, if it's a minor incursion, new phraseology all the time, minor incursion into a separate nation, we'd probably look the other way. Really? So if you are in Ukraine and you've been depending on the United States, good luck. These foreign leaders are not going to look to Joe Biden for guidance on anything. They're just going to look to see if he nods off during the meeting, which might be the best thing for world policy, actually. Then on top of it, you've got the gaffe last week. You've got people in Ukraine. The U.S. is now telling Americans that they cannot guarantee their safety. Get out of the country. This is what the United States is saying to its citizens who are in Ukraine. If you're in Ukraine, how can you not be thinking of Afghanistan in this respect? You thought you were safe, you thought your nation would take care of you, and you're now being told, catch a private flight out of Ukraine. Catch a private flight? That's the advice of the U.S. government? Again, the parallels are frightening. And people are now asking, all right, Joe, something bad happens in Ukraine. Are you going to leave Americans behind just like you did in Afghanistan? CNN is now reporting that the Biden administration is in the final stages of identifying specific military units to send to Eastern Europe to deter Russia. Yeah, Putin's going to be deterred by anything Biden does. No deployment orders yet, but that might be coming, quite obviously. There's another factor here that is being reported. Russia is scheduled to have a military exercise in Belarus. There are those who say that is actually a dress rehearsal for an invasion of Ukraine coming at it from the north. And as has been publicly stated, Russia's supposed military exercises in Belarus are scheduled to end on February 20th. Well, what difference does the date make? Well, that's the day the Olympics in Beijing end. In other words, the Olympics end the same day as these military exercises. History reminds us that Russia, Vladimir Putin, invaded Crimea just after the Olympics 8 years ago. Again, parallels and timelines that frankly make us very concerned. You've got a failing president. You've got approval numbers in the tank. What is the quickest way for a president to become more popular at home? We love our wartime presidents. We think to ourselves, we don't want to seem disloyal in a time of national crisis and when our men and women are serving and are in harm's way. Is it too cynical to suggest that after giving Russia every indication that we were going to be just fine with whatever they did, is it too far-fetched to think that then to double down and restore some credibility, this administration might take actions that have questionable military benefit but are based on political polls? It's not at all too much to ask, not at all too much to think that it might happen. It's hideous to suggest, quite honestly. But then again, not terribly surprising. Because again, would you have thought Afghanistan would have come about the way that it did, the fall of Afghanistan, would you have thought that the administration policy on COVID would be all over the board? That if you did not subscribe to their way of thinking, you would be branded all manner of names, including being racist. Because that's the reality we've had over this past 12 months. And they're in a corner in the White House, and they're going to double down. They know the numbers. They know the situation. This is a time to be concerned. I'm not here to whip up frenzy. I'm not here to scare anybody. I'm just saying this is a time to question and be concerned. More on the other side of this break. Join the conversation, won't you please? 844-747-8868. It's 844-747-8868. I'm Jeff Stein, filling in for Todd. Thanks for being along on this edition of the Todd Stern Show.
From the front lines of the culture war, it's Todd Starnes.
Happy New Year, friends. 2022 is going to be a critical year for America and for AMAC, the Association of Mature American Citizens, along with their nearly 2 million members, like me. Fight to stop out-of-control spending in the president's Build Back Better scheme is far from over. Congress is plotting more legislation that could hurt our seniors, and the midterm elections will be a battle for freedom versus socialism. Unlike liberal groups, AMAC is America's conservative action-oriented 50-plus organization fighting hard every day in Washington and across the nation for our seniors. I'm urging you to choose AMAC now. You'll receive all the great membership benefits, including AMAC discounts on hotels, travel, and restaurants, and your membership will support your values. Go to amac.us/Todd. Again, that's amac.us/Todd to become an AMAC member now.
Welcome back to the Todd Stern Show. Jeff Stein filling in for Todd today. I'm sorry if that last segment was a little heavy, but you just start looking at all of this stuff and you know, it is reality. And that's why the news I'm about to share with you is such a welcome relief, because it is tremendously good news. Todd Starnes has sent Grace Baker an email to report that his cataract surgery is over. It was a success. And he will be back in the Liberty University studio behind the microphone tomorrow. So what a wonderful result and a great antidote, frankly, to that bad news about our political future. Todd's cataract surgery was a success, and he will be back here tomorrow. Best news we're going to have all day. 844-747-8868 is the number where you can join this coast-to-coast conversation. 844-747-8868. I see that the Dow has dropped more than 1,000 points since the open, and that was, what, 3 hours ago. Now, that's not a great thing to a large degree, but we do have to put some of this into perspective, because we've heard a lot of people, and I saw this reported over the weekend. The Dow has had a little bit of trouble here in the last week, and so there were a lot of people searching online for, has the Dow crashed? What do you do when the Dow crashes? Well, it hasn't been a crash in any way, because, yes, some of us are old enough to remember that a 1,000-point drop in the Dow was huge. This is a loss of 3%. Now, again, it's 3%. Which is obviously worse than if it was a fraction of a percent, but it is not some kind of crippling thing. So unless you really understand the situation, and if you do, you're not scared by that necessarily. You look at it as an opportunity perhaps to buy in, because that's the time to buy when everybody else is selling. But the fact of the matter is, yes, since the open of trading today, as we're speaking to you at around 12:30 Eastern Time, 11:30 Central Time on Monday. The Dow has dropped 1,000 points. That is a 3% drop from the open. But again, it is not a crash in any sense. All right, 844-747-8868 is how you can join this conversation. Plenty of time for your calls in the next hour. In the next hour, we'll speak with Congressman Andy Harris and much more. I'm Jeff Stein, filling in for Todd. Thanks for being here on this edition of the Todd Starn Show.
There's no doubt the nation is facing a financial crisis because of the Biden administration's economic policies. Hi, this is Todd Starnes, and no doubt our economy is in trouble, and you need to take steps to protect yourself. Now, if all your money is tied up in stocks, bonds, and traditional markets, you are vulnerable. Gold is one of the best ways to protect your retirement. No matter what happens, you own your gold. It's real, physical. It's always been valuable since the dawn of time. Legacy Precious Metals is the company I trust for investing in gold, and they can help you roll your retirement account into a gold-backed IRA where you still own the physical gold. They can also ship the gold and precious metals safely and securely to your house. Did you know $1 million worth of gold can actually fit inside a shoebox? Call Legacy at 866-528-1903 or visit them online at legacypminvestments.com. That's legacypminvestments.com.
Welcome back to the Todd Starn Show. Jeff Stein filling in for Todd, who has had successful cataract removal surgery and will be back here tomorrow. And we're very pleased to give you that note. 844-747-8868 is the number. That's the number that Matt used to call the Todd Starn Show from North Carolina. Matt, thanks so much for calling in. What's on your mind today?
Hello, Mr. Stein. Thanks for taking my call, my regular caller.
Yes, sir.
Glad to see that Todd came through okay. And
absolutely,
my comment to Grace was, I don't know of any American, anyone, who wants to have Biden lead us in a war with Russia. I mean, that's just completely, that's beyond stupid.
Well, why do you think, though, there's so much talk about it? Does he not have advisors? What about the military-industrial complex, who's always itching for a fight? Because if Biden hashes it up, then, okay, we'll just get somebody else in there, and it'll go on even longer, and they'll make more money. Is that too cynical of me to suggest,
Matt? No, Mr. Stein, you're exactly right. The military-industrial complex, in my opinion, is itching for a war, as you stated.
Well, so when you say there's no American that would like to see it, no average American, it's just these people with a vested interest that they don't want to disclose.
Correct, sir.
All right, so what's the answer?
Hopefully the midterm elections, if you will.
Yes, sir. But that's the problem, because if you look at the timing of things, they have nothing going for them. They have not been able to put forward any sort of cohesive agenda. The people are rising up. I'm just, you know, frankly, rather scared that they're going to take the opportunity to create a crisis. These are the people who never let a good crisis go to waste. Heaven forbid they create a crisis, though. Do you have concerns about that as well?
Oh, yes, sir. And it keeps the public's, it tries to divert the attention from the southern border, which he destroyed.
Oh, without question. Without question, destroyed. And it has harmed the security of the nation as a result. Matt, thank you so much for... Hey, what's the weather in North Carolina today?
Oh, we had 2 weekends in a row of complete misery. Last weekend was an ice storm, sir. And now today it's pretty. I'm sitting on a deck overlooking the Pamlico Sound.
Well, the reason I'm asking is because my snowblower got a lot of work out over the weekend here in Iowa. The temperature has been dropping since sunrise. And they say that with the wind, it's going to feel like it's below zero starting in right when we get done with this program, and it will feel like below zero for the next 48 hours. So I'm looking for something to, I may be looking for a trade. That's why I was asking how North Carolina was.
I wish I could give you a picture of what I'm looking at, the beautiful Pamlico Sound, sir.
Oh, I am jealous.
Glad to see Todd made it through all right. You have a good day. I'm looking to keep listening to the program.
Thank you so much for listening, Matt, in North Carolina, and for calling in and making me jealous about your view. Now, keep in mind, I was born in Iowa, raised in Iowa. I have lived in this state my entire life. I love living here. But there are about 2 weeks a year where you start looking at a map. Because, literally, it's going to be 20 below tomorrow night. That, and then you add the wind chill and it's going to be 30 below. But that's all right. That's why we stay inside and listen to the radio. 844-747-8868 is the number you can call to join this conversation as we come to you, as always, from the Liberty University studio. I was driving yesterday, and this talk about the possibility of war is what brings it to mind. I had a speaking engagement at a town on the Mississippi River in Iowa. It's Dubuque, Iowa. All right, so if you follow the Mississippi from Memphis on north, Dubuque was a major port over the course of time, and they have a wonderful museum of art there, and they have an exhibition going on right now about the Vietnam War experience. And so they asked me to do a presentation that I have done multiple places about how broadcasters covered war, starting with World War II, running through the first Gulf War, all right, a 50-year period. And so that got us into conversation. And because we had a lot of veterans there, we had a lot of people who remember some of the things that were being discussed. And it got into a discussion of U.S. policy, whether you could trust the U.S. government at one time or another, and now can you trust the formerly, as I call it, formerly mainstream media. And I always enjoy getting out and talking to groups of people, just like I very much enjoy talking to you folks here on this program when I have the privilege of filling in. Because it really helps us all be much more grounded about things. And to know what real Americans, not the ones who get interviewed, not the ones who have an elective office, a title by their name, we get to hear what real Americans think. And real Americans are concerned about this lack of credibility. It used to be that you could go and have a trusted source for information. Now you don't trust the source because everybody's in it for money. You can go to toddstarns.com and you're going to get good, solid information. But I have said for years, you need to go to multiple sources of information. The paradox we have right now is that we have more sources of information than ever before, and people are, in essence, using fewer sources because they just want things that reinforce their worldview. It's our responsibility to challenge ourselves, challenge our minds, get good information from multiple sources so we can make smart judgments about these things. And again, Vietnam is the best example of the government getting up and saying one thing, and then 2 days later, the film would come in from Saigon and be developed and put on the network news, and it wasn't quite the same. This is part of the concern that we have now. And as I was driving back, I immediately took a wrong turn. It's a straight road, but somehow I wound up going the wrong direction. And I had a difficult time getting the app on my phone to tell me which way to go. Now, I had my radio station phone. I have a personal phone, and then I have a phone that the station gives me. And the phone that the station gives me was just not doing very well in trying to, you know, navigate and do all of these things. Again, straight road, shouldn't have been a problem. It was a problem. Well, in any event, it made me think to myself, okay, is it the phone? Is it the carrier? And it led me to, when I got home, fire up the website for Patriot Mobile, so that maybe my employer can upgrade the device that they have me carry. And now more than ever, it is vitally important to support companies and organizations that share our values. And that's why I looked at Patriot Mobile. It's America's only Christian conservative wireless carrier. They share our beliefs, and not only that, they do something about it, because Patriot Mobile donates a portion of every dollar to organizations that fight for causes we all care about. Now, here's the deal. Switch to Patriot Mobile now. Use promo code Todd. You'll not only get free activation, but a free gift. You can't beat this. Patriot Mobile, broadest nationwide coverage. They use the same towers that the other carriers do. And in keeping with our conversation today, they have plans to fit any budget along with great discounts for veterans and first responders. Multi-line users, too, so it's perfect for your family. Switching to Patriot Mobile, quite easy. Just go to patriotmobile.com/Todd or call their U.S.-based, thank you very much, customer service team at 972-PATRIOT. So to get your special discount and free premier activation, use promo code Todd. That's patriotmobile.com/Todd or call 972-PATRIOT, that's 972-PATRIOT, and use promo code Todd for Patriot Mobile. Chris is calling in from North Carolina. Chris, thanks so much for calling in to the Todd Starn Show. Jeff Stein filling in for Todd. What's on your mind today?
Thank you very much, Jeff. Well, yeah, I was telling Grace, my question is, when Trump was in office, the Democrats, at every time they put a roadblock, whether it was impeachment, my question is, why, in your opinion, you know, we've elected these folks that most of the Todd Starnes, the Sean Hannitys of the world have said, these are the good men. Why are these good men not trying to impeach him? Even though you couldn't impeach him, at least you could hold this stuff up. So I'll give you the floor. I'd like to know, why are the Republicans have stood by and let our country be overtook and everything else and not done one thing about it? Thank
okay,
you, sir.
Well, Chris, let me ask you a couple, if yep. I can. Let me ask you.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
How would you feel about President Kamala Harris?
That would be terrible.
Worse?
Absolutely terrible. But that, so in other words, you're saying they've not done anything because if they impeach him, it would be her.
Well, I think there's a part of it, but you're right when you say the numbers aren't there. They won't do it even as a symbol because they don't have the numbers and they won't do it. You're right. I think there's some.
That's the part I don't understand. Go
well,
ahead.
Here's why. Because they're playing with an old playbook, Chris. They're not playing in 2022, right? They're playing like, here we are at the country club. That's how we got the phrase country club Republicans. Here we are at the country club. We don't want to, you know, raise any issues. We want to play it really fair. We're in a street fight now. And the rules are far different. I mean, can you think of any other reason other than the fact that the people who are leading are trying to follow some set of gentlemen's agreement rules and not understanding that this is literally life or death for the country?
Well, I think the only common sense leads you to believe that it's just like the mandate, the shots and all that. The Republicans, if you took a poll how many had money in Big Pharma, I think we would understand what's going on. You got Todd Starnes, which I think the world of talks, but if you listen to Sean Hannity, he's talking exactly opposite of what Todd Starnes says on a lot of things. How can that be? How can that be? And so the American people, you got to know how frustrated we are when we've done everything we were told. Put these people in office. Now they want the American people to fight. Now you want moms and dads to have to go to the schools and literally get put in jail, lose their jobs. Well, what about the officials that we put there to do something? What have they done?
Well, here's your best example, Chris.
What have they done?
Well, and here's your best example, Chris, and thank you so much for calling in from North Carolina. Look, who had control of the U.S. House and the U.S. Senate when Donald Trump was elected? They had everything. And yet, the Republicans in the House passed things, the Senate didn't get things done, and look what happens. Look where we are now. So to Chris's point, Republicans have said, elect us, we'll take care of everything, we'll fix everything, we'll take care of it. The only person who advanced the agenda in the last decade in any measurable way was the guy who was not a traditional Republican, and that was Donald J. Trump. That answers a lot of it, doesn't it? Excellent points that Chris brings up. And you can sense the frustration, and I know you all feel it too. Hey, Charles, stay on the line. Need to take a break now, but I'll get to you right afterwards. It's 844-747-8868. Join the conversation. Jeff Stein in for Todd on the Todd Starnes Show.
It's Radio Free America. Todd Starnes.
I'm a little particular when it comes to bath towels. Hi, this is Todd Starnes, and I want to tell you about my good buddy, Mike Lindell, over at MyPillow. Not only do they make great pillows, they also make incredible towels. Mike found the best towel company right here in the USA, and they have proprietary technology to create towels that feel soft, but actually work. Again, all made with USA cotton, and they come with the MyPillow 60-day money-back guarantee. Here's what you're going to get. A six-piece towel set, normally $109, but now only $39.99. All you need to do is go to MyPillow.com/Starnes. That's MyPillow.com/Starnes, and you are going to get deep discounts on all MyPillow products, including those awesome towels. Enter the promo code STARNES or call 800-839-8506 for this incredible radio special. That's MyPillow.com/Starnes.
Welcome back to the Todd Starnes Show. Jeff Stein filling in for Todd, who's off today, has had successful cataract surgery. Thank goodness for that. He'll be back with you tomorrow. Joining us now, calling in at 844-747-8868, we invite Charles to continue the conversation, calling in from North Carolina, where he listens on WSIC. Charles, thanks so much. Jeff Stein here for Todd. What's on your mind today?
Hey, Jeff. Thanks for taking my call.
Yes, sir.
Jeff, I want to throw something out there and get your thoughts on a theory that I have about Ukraine and everything.
All right.
First, let me just say that I am really worried about what's going on over there right now, and I just really think that our country is teetering right now on all fronts, economically, culturally, politically, and now on foreign policy. But if you remember going back to 2015, when Joe Biden was interviewed at the Council on Foreign Relations about not giving the Ukrainian government the $1 billion unless charges were dropped, remember that?
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. Okay. He used a bit of profanity to make his point.
Exactly, that's right, yeah. And, you know, Donald Trump brought that out when he, under that second fake impeachment, you know, about a quid pro quo. Well, actually, Joe Biden was the one that did the quid pro quo. Given Joe Biden's disastrous results over the last year, I could see him wanting to do anything to divert attention. But do you think it's possible that the Ukrainian government, knowing that the Russians had been planning on maybe an invasion all along, could be blackmailing Joe Biden saying, hey, Mr. President, unless you intervene, we're going to spill the beans on you and your family, and we're going to expose everybody? Because, Todd, I mean, Jeff, to me, that is not a stretch. I mean, this whole political, corrupt political machine for 4 years after Trump won, they did everything they could under the sun to have him impeached. They made up stuff with their allies in the media. They withheld pertinent information that could have exposed Joe Biden, Hunter Biden. They changed election law. They rigged an election to get rid of a legitimately elected president and install a corrupt puppet who's a placeholder for that political machine. So for them to do something like this, to me, is nothing more than an extension of what they've been doing for the last 6 years just to hold on to power. I mean, what do you think?
It is exactly the reason, Charles, why you worry about any conflict of interest, because it then jeopardizes the security of the nation. So to your point about this, if someone in Biden's circle, whether it's him, his brother, his son, whomever, was getting paid by another country, I don't care if they were paid to be a competent executive of an American corporation. It creates the potential for conflict of interest. That's in a legitimate sense. All right, so now you take these where it's paying this, and we keep saying, you know, his son, this young man, he's above 50 for crying out loud, living off of dad and dad's reputation. So to get some of these plum positions with no experience, there's a reason why that was done. And when you make the payment like that, you expect something for it. Maybe not right away, but at some later time. So, Charles, I think you have an excellent analysis. We're coming up against a break, so I'll let you go now. But I thank you so much for making those points because, again, it is a direct answer to his question. It's not too far-fetched to say that there is some level of accountability. I don't know that I want to call it blackmail. It may not be overt. It may just simply be somebody clearing their throat over there saying, you remember how your family got the money it did. See, this is one of the things that, and we have these conversations at home all the time in similar situations. I would much rather elect someone who has their own money, because then they don't need ours. Then they don't need the bribe from someone else. You elect somebody who's got their own money, they're not going to be as tempted by the spoils that come with power. I don't see what amount of money somebody could have waved in front of Donald Trump's face to get him to do something. He has money. How did Biden make his money? Because people from Delaware elected him, and then we elected him. And it that's why the system is corrupt. Too many people getting rich off of, quote, public service. What a great hour. We got two more to come. Jeff Stein filling in for Todd on the Todd Starnes Show.
Our faith guides how we vote, the things we teach our kids, and so much more. But are we letting our faith make an impact in the most powerful resource we have, money? I mean, other than tithing, I never really thought about it until I learned about Timothy Plan, the pioneer of biblically responsible investing. Timothy Plan offers investment products that remove companies that act against biblical values or profit from human suffering. Through mutual funds and ETFs, Timothy Plan empowers investors to honor God with the money entrusted to them. So ask your financial advisor to use Timothy Plan, or call Timothy Plan directly at 1-800-TIM-PLAN. Again, that's 1-800-846-7526. And discover what it means to be a biblically responsible investor.
Investing involves risk, including possible loss of principal. Before investing, carefully consider a fund's investment objective, risks, charges, and expenses contained in the prospectus available at timothyplan.com. Read carefully before investing. Mutual funds distributed by Timothy Partners LLC and ETFs distributed by Foresight Fund Services LLC. As a pay testimonial, there's no guarantee of future performance and each experience will differ.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Wherever you're listening across this, the greatest nation God ever blessed, welcome to hour number two of this Monday edition of the Todd Starnes program. Coast to coast on more than 100 excellent radio stations and streaming live at toddstarnes.com. Hello, fellow patriots. I'm Jeff Stein, filling in for Todd today, coming to you from my home base at News Talk 1540 KXEL in Cedar Rapids and Waterloo, Iowa, the 50,000-watt blowtorch scorching middle America with accurate news and reasonable views. Todd had his cataract surgery today. Fully successful, he'll be back here in the Liberty University studio behind the microphone tomorrow. So the prayers are most appreciated, and he'll be back here again tomorrow. Coming up at the bottom of the hour, we'll speak with attorney and news analyst Dr. Wendy Patrick about this recent court decision that strikes down yet again another Biden administration vaccination mandate. That is a half hour from now. But now, to begin this hour of the program, let's go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line, and we are joined by Republican Congressman Andy Harris. Congressman Harris represents the 1st District of Maryland. Congressman, thanks so much for coming on the program. Jeff Stein in for Todd. How are you on this Monday?
I'm doing fine, Jeff.
All right. So I was intrigued by a couple of things, and folks can go to your Facebook and Twitter and your webpage at harris.house.gov to hear these comments. But here it is, a half century, three generations since the U.S. Supreme Court handed down the Roe versus Wade decision. As a lawyer, I think it was a horrible decision from a legal standpoint, not to mention a moral standpoint. As a medical doctor, how different are things now with regard to the ability to preserve precious life that really renders this decision totally worthless?
Well, it's more than that, Jeff. I mean, it's the fact that I think the last couple of generations of Americans have learned that human life does begin at conception. It begins when, you know, when that unique set of chromosomes is established. And I think scientifically, there's no argument that human life begins at conception. And then the question is, why is it less equal than other lives? I mean, with all the talk about equality, we should be talking about equality for the unborn child.
And that's why I wanted to get that perspective, because, again, I had a Republican 25 years ago say to me, the issue of abortion will not matter in the future because the point of the Supreme Court case was viability, right? Viability outside the womb. And as medical technology improved, viability was going to be much earlier. You're talking, though, of course, about a more fundamental point, and that is the sanctity of life. Do you get a sense that now here we are on the cusp of something to where there will be a greater valuation of life and this decision might be overturned? Do you get a sense that that's what your constituents want?
Well, you know, regardless of what constituents want, I think, you know, everyone in my district knows I'm pro-life and I get reelected. Yes. But the fact of the matter is, you know, our job is to protect the Constitution. It's to protect life, liberty, pursuit of happiness, and life begins at conception. That's the bottom line. We have, if we don't stand for that, if we don't stand for equal protection of all lives, all human lives, including the unborn, you know, shame on us. What do we stand for?
Well, it certainly has, we have demonstrated over the past half century in so many ways that society has degraded when this has just become commonplace. And it makes the point about how the society is much less when it does not value life in all forms. And again, major cities, people killing each other again. It's just the degradation of the concept of life. It also has to do with government interference in our lives. And that takes me to this concept of COVID-19, and I believe that I can get a good answer going to my doctor. I don't need the federal government telling me how to handle such things. From your unique viewpoint, what are we to make of this constant change of appearance and change of protocol by the federal government? Can we believe anything these folks are saying?
Well, I think what it shows is that a lot of the decisions have been political. They're not based on science. They're based on hope. They're based on wish. They're based on, you know, which way the political wind blows. And I think Americans have figured it out. I think in the end, Americans don't want government to run their health care. They don't want government to run their lives. And what we've seen during COVID is that that's exactly what government wanted to do. It wanted to tell everyone, treat everyone exactly the same. When I went to medical school, we were taught to treat every patient differently. Everyone's circumstance is different. And yet here the federal government says, no, we're going to just treat everyone exactly the same. That's not good medicine. It's not good science. And it's certainly not good for the freedom and liberty of the United States and its citizens.
Messaging is so key in all of this. And I contend that the folks in Washington, in the Biden administration, but it's broader, it's Dr. Fauci, they have no credibility anymore. They've lost whatever they had. Is that getting in the way of people actually seeking out good information? In other words, if I can't trust the government, they just throw up their hands?
Well, you know, people can still seek out information from their health care providers. Unfortunately, even health care providers are coming under government pressure to toe the government line. And that really is very, very dangerous for your health. And again, it's a message that we take out of COVID, is that we just can't let the government run our health care.
Well, because of the fact, too, and again, our agriculture network had an interview with Dr. Fauci, and I heard it being played this morning, and he himself said the best thing you can do is seek out medical advice you trust. And my thought was, well, it sure ain't you, Doc, with all due respect. I mean, this is the kind of thing that government does some things very well, but running medicine is not one of them.
Oh, that's absolutely clear. And again, it's become crystal clear to people during COVID what's going on, again, with our hospitals, with even the reporting of basic data. It's pretty clear that people just really have to go back to trusting their healthcare provider, their doctor, and get their healthcare from advice from them. And again, it's just one of the lessons we'll have learned from COVID, and shame on us if we don't learn that lesson.
Congressman Andy Harris of Maryland joining us on the Todd Starn Show. Jeff Stein filling in for Todd today. I have talked to doctors, and I've had them tell me things like, if you're using one of these cloth masks, you might as well try to corral mosquitoes with a chain link fence. And then doctors from big hospitals come on and have a very different mindset. That is something that was that commonplace before, or is COVID just exposing something that you folks in the profession may have known and the rest of us as citizens did not know? And that was how some of this, what we think is medicine, has become corporatized to the degree that we have to be skeptical.
Yeah, so it's interesting, you know, whether it's masks or vaccines or therapeutics, I mean, all of it is just so muddied. With regards to masks, you know, before COVID, it was pretty clear that masks really weren't that effective for respiratory viruses like the flu. And then all of a sudden, you know, any mask would do. Then it was only certain kinds of masks. Now it's only N95 or KN95s. I mean, look, the science just isn't there for a lot of this, and a lot of it's wishful thinking. Fortunately, it looks like Omicron might be the last variant for a while, maybe until summer or fall, and hopefully we get a little reprieve from things now. And we, you know, when the dust settles, we can figure out where the real science is, and again, how to protect every American to the best ability we can.
I believe you said, and correct me if I'm wrong, that the best way to handle these things is for an individual to consult with the medical provider they trust for best course of action. If, in fact, that is the case, then what do you think is the proper role of government in a situation like we're facing now?
Well, one thing that the government could do, and it didn't do very well, is actually to collect accurate data so that we would have a direction. It turns out that other governments, whether it's England or Israel, a lot of the governments that have health, you know, universal health care, they collect data in a better way. We could collect the data well also. We just don't. And because of that, I don't think we had good data to base our decisions on. And again, you know, we learned the hard way. Again, whether it's vaccines, whether it's masks, you know, vaccines which are supposed to have prevented you from getting the disease and transmitting it, actually, in the end, don't do either of them. They may prevent you from getting serious disease, but you can still get it. You can still transmit it. So there's a lot we have to learn. And again, Dr. Fauci and others shouldn't pretend they know the answers. We don't. We're learning all the time. And until then, the best advice really is to just go with the person who you trust. And like you say, for a lot of Americans, that's not Dr. Fauci.
Congressman Harris, great privilege to speak with you, sir. Thanks for taking time to join the Todd Starn Show today. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Congressman Andy Harris, Dr. Harris, representing the 1st District of Maryland, and he joined us live on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line here on this Monday edition of the Todd Starn Show. 847-747-8868 is the number for you to join the conversation. I'm Jeff Stein, filling in for Todd today. I believe we had Gary from South Haven on the line listening on the flagship, the Mighty 990 KWAM Radio. If Gary is there, I'd love to talk to him right now. Gary, Jeff Stein in for Todd. What's on your mind?
Yes, sir. Mr. Jeff, you're doing a wonderful job filling in for Mr. Todd Starnes, and I'm so thankful to hear that he has recovered or at least had a successful surgery for the cataracts. And
yes,
I just love the station, 99.0 AM, Mighty 99, because I just recently kind of came to know it through Wake Memphis, which also airs on Sundays at this network. And I'm glad Todd is back in Memphis and doing this. It's just great to have this show. But anyway, No, I just, you know, concerning not so much what you just talked about with the congressman, but sure. what was previous that, this thing with, President Biden. I mean, you know, I certainly would vote for Trump again, or at least I did vote for him in the past. I don't think he should run again, but I think somebody else should. But anyway, I'm saying that, you know, I pray for the president, and I think we ought to pray for him and pray that the Lord will promote him when he makes good choices and discourage him and keep him on the right track when he does make right decisions, which I haven't seen many of. But this thing about Russia, he kind of put his foot in his mouth and he needs to regain his credibility. But actually, we as a country need to regain our credibility and stand up against Russia. You know, even though I hate to send troops over there, and I know Biden's doing it for a different reason, for his own credibility, but we as Americans have suffered in our credibility with what's happened in Afghanistan, and it's just terrible, and everybody admits that. And, I mean, everybody does across the spectrum. And so many times, like that previous caller, I think his name was Joe, and a couple before that even said, but Joe, I think it was Joe, said, you know, the Ukrainians may be blackmailing Biden, and he had a really good point because of all that they have against him, and said, you better come help us, because we got all this on you. And that is very insightful at that. That man should have his own radio show, as far as I'm concerned, because he did a great job in saying that. And he's probably onto something really good, and he's probably right on target. But listen, we just gotta, you know, we as believers, if we are believers, whoever's listening, we need to be political, but the solution is not political, but we need to be absolutely 100% political and pray with all our might, like the duck that's, you know, that looks calm on the surface of the water and praying below the, with his feet, you know, below, yeah. moving his feet real fast. Yeah. We need to be behind the scenes praying for this country and everything. But, you know, I think for the people of Ukraine, I mean, I'm worried about them. You know, I'm just like I was worried about the Afghanistan people, them, the people, the interpreters, and the Americans, of course. And the whole way it was done, it was so wrong. But I pray for them as a nation. And I remember back several years ago, President Obama, he did something around 09 or 10 or maybe even just 8 when he got in, how he wished away, or he negotiated away that missile defense thing over there somewhere in Ukraine or something. And I don't know if that ever went through or not, and I can't really remember about that, but that was a major defense against Russia to do anything to Ukraine.
Well, you make some excellent points, Gary, and thank you so much for making the call and for listening to the Mighty 990 KYM radio. You know, one of the things that you mentioned there is so key, and I think this is something that Gary mentioned that's very important. It is not in our country's interests for a president of the United States to fail so that we lose credibility, so that blood and treasure are spent needlessly. I pray every day for the health of this president, because he's the one who's in there right now. Now, do I agree with his ideas and his policies? Oh, no. Heavens no. Heavens no. But he's the one we got right now. And until there's another election, and how about we make sure elections are fair first? We can't wish for him to fail if it means America suffers. And if it means, because of our actions, those in Ukraine suffer, or those in Afghanistan, who already are mightily suffering, suffer even more. It's an excellent point, Gary. 844-747-8868. Quick break now. Your call on the other side. Jeff Stein in for Todd. This is the Todd Starnes Show.
About to back up and bring it. It's Todd Starnes.
Hi, everyone. If you've been injured in an accident that was not your fault, listen up. We have legal professionals standing by to answer your questions for free. Call now and find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth. Call 800-702-5400. I'm here with spokesman John Wolf. So, John, tell everyone listening who should call right now.
Well, Maria, first off, thank you for having me here. It's always nice to answer the listeners' questions. Now, as far as who should call in, anyone who's been injured in an accident and think you deserve compensation, give us a call right now. 800-702-5400. You'll find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth.
Thanks, John. You heard it, folks. Take advantage of this opportunity and call now. 800-702-5400.
Advertisement sponsored by Legal Help Center may not be available in all states.
Welcome back. Todd Starnes Radio Show on the air on this Monday. I'm Jeff Stein filling in for Todd, who had successful cataract surgery this morning. And he'll be back here in the Liberty University studio behind the mic tomorrow. 844-747-8868 is the number that you can call. Phones have been very active today with some very, very interesting calls and comments. We encourage yours. 844-747-8868. News analyst and attorney Dr. Wendy Patrick joins us just after the bottom of the hour. Well, you know that MyPillow does not sell through box stores or any shopping channels anymore, anything like that. The cancel culture mob took care of that. Some of these stores, though, are more than a little disingenuous. They make a big deal by saying that they don't have it on the shelves, but you might be able to order it from us online. In other words, they still want to take the money, but they want to look good to the people who go up and down the aisles of a store to see what items should be banned. I mean, it's really, really ridiculous. I refuse to go to these places anymore, and I know you're the same way. But you want the good MyPillow products. Don't know what I would do without my MyPillow. So the good thing about this is American ingenuity. Mike Lindell inventing this product to begin with, and that whole success story. A lot of people, though, when canceled, would have just said, well, it was a good run, not Mike Lindell. He now is selling directly to you. And that means you save money. He could have done it the other way and said, well, you know, I'll keep the price the same or reduce it a little bit and make out like a bandit. Nope, that's not what he's doing. He is taking the money that he would have had to have shared with these stores and just letting you keep it. And that means you can get the lowest price in the history of MyPillow. Classic standard MyPillow, regularly $69.98. It's only $19.98 with promo code STARNS. Queen size. Used to be $79.98. Now it's only $24.98 with promo code STARNS. That's what my math says. That's a third of the former price. King size was $89.98. Now it's just $29.98 with, say it all with me, promo code STARNS. MyPillow, of course, has more than just pillows, more than 150 products, sleepwear, slippers, beds, towels. Look, go to MyPillow.com/Starnes, use the promo code Starnes, or call 1-800-544-8939, 800-544-8939, promo code Starnes. Jeff Stein filling in for Todd. Thanks for being here on the Todd Starnes Show. Welcome back to the Todd Starnes Show, coming to you from the Liberty University studio. I'm Jeff Stein, filling in for Todd, who will be back tomorrow following successful cataract surgery today. 844-747-8868 is how you can join this active coast-to-coast conversation today. It's 844-747-8868. We'll take your calls in a moment, but first, pleased to welcome a return guest to the program, and I always enjoy our conversations. Joining us now on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line is attorney and news analyst Dr. Wendy Patrick. She's on the Twitter machine at Wendy Patrick, PhD, and online, WendyPatrickPhD.com. Dr. Patrick, thanks so much for taking the time. How are you?
Oh, it's always a pleasure to join you, Jeff, wherever you are.
Well, I tell you, wherever this thing is put in court, judges tend to strike it down. I'm talking about vaccination mandates. The most recent example was Friday, a federal judge in Texas. So walk us through this most recent setback for an administration that is trying to impose vaccination mandates.
Yeah, setback, Jeff, is a great way to describe this. So this was another preliminary injunction, and you know it's going to be easier rather than more difficult now that the Supreme Court has spoken up. And in Texas, basically, the court basically said, look, you know, this presidential mandate that all federal employees consent to a vaccination or lose their jobs is beyond the president's authority. So the court enjoined it. Now, I do have to say, Jeff, I found it curious that the court felt compelled to weigh in regarding their own personal opinions on the efficacy of vaccination. They basically said, and I'm quoting this language, it's not about whether folks should get vaccinated against COVID-19. The court believes they should. And then they went on to basically say, you know, this is not even necessarily a case about the federal government's power, but it's about whether the president can, again, their words, with the stroke of a pen and without the input of Congress, require millions of federal employees to undergo a vaccination. Very interesting the way it was written, Jeff, and no doubt language that other courts will pick up.
And that is fascinating because it almost seems, as you quite accurately lay it out for us, that they wanted to avoid criticism of being anti-vaxxers, right? Essentially, they're saying, no, we think vaccines are a great idea. We just don't think that, that this is government overreach and we don't think that it's permissible. That, again, is taking it a little. As an attorney, you've read rulings of courts for decades. I mean, this is not common to have that kind of commentary put in.
It's true. It's a little bit of personality put into the opinion. I love that. Okay, I've been doing this for 25 years, and it is just a delightful thing to read when you have a judge actually injecting, whether it's humor or sarcasm or whatever it is, kind of bringing the opinion alive. You know, what else I thought was curious is that he talked about whether the president can with the stroke of a pen. Remember President Obama with his pen and his phone?
Yes, we use
that soundbite for years. I guess people don't use phones anymore to actually make phone calls. They're cameras and news machines and all the rest of it. But it was also interesting. Listen to this, Jeff. Not only did he talk about the President Biden not being able to use the stroke of a pen without the input of Congress, but he said require millions of federal employees to undergo a medical procedure as a condition of their employment. Now, that gives me some insight, or maybe I'm just reading too much into it, of perhaps what the court thinks about vaccines. I mean, obviously, the court already said a couple of sentences earlier that people should get vaccinated against COVID-19. But now they're likening it to a medical procedure. It's just fascinating. And, you know, words matter in terms of what other jurisdictions are going to do when looking at an opinion like this. Not that they're bound by it if they're in another part of the country, but they're going to be brought the same kind of case in their jurisdictions. I guarantee it, they already are. These cases are working their way through the court system as we speak. But it's just interesting how these words are going to no doubt get picked up. I'm sure we'll be talking about it again.
Well, as you say, again, quite accurately, the words that are chosen are not accidental. And to refer to this as a medical procedure suggests that they're looking to insulate it with other precedent that might help this ruling, because no judge is going to write a ruling unless they want it to be upheld on appeal. This one certainly is going to be taken up on appeal. So clearly this judge is looking to tie into a certain line of precedent here.
Yeah, and you know, he's a U.S. district judge, and remember that President Trump made an enormous amount of appointments to the federal bench. You know, sometimes we forget how much President Trump actually did in office. Whatever you think about him, he really made a lot of appointments. And, you know, I'm sure President Biden will do the same thing. But when you look at some of the ways in which these opinions are phrased, you just, and obviously judges have to be impartial. They're not supposed to bring their politics with them, you know, under the robe onto the bench. But it's just interesting to see a little bit of personality here that I think mirrors and reflects what we heard from the Supreme Court themselves, which of course split down the 6-3 conservative majority on these vaccine mandate issues, at least the one. So I wouldn't be surprised now that we do have Supreme Court precedent on the presidential powers acting without Congress if we won't see more opinions just like this one we're talking about out of Texas.
Attorney and news analyst Dr. Wendy Patrick joining us live on the Todd Starn Show. Jeff Stein filling in for Todd today. And again, let's take it through the impact. This is a federal judge by name in a district court in Texas. The application of that ruling elsewhere is somewhat limited, though, correct?
Well, it would be. This would be, but remember, part of what they're citing is what the Supreme Court already found. Yeah. And that is what's, it almost gives courts an out, because they are talking about the fact that the president has no legal authority to require certain kinds of mandates. So if you do have the Supreme Court precedent, which we now do, this court can say exactly what it did. Under the current state of the law, as just recently expressed by the Supreme Court, this is a bridge too far. So this bridge too far language, quoting the U.S. Supreme Court recent opinion, it's just too easy to use as precedent for so many of these mandates. Now, that you know, the Congress may decide to act, and then we may be in a completely different position. But in the meantime, it is a little bit of a ray of hope that finally, now that the Supreme Court fast-tracked this mandate decision, federal courts and other courts are certainly going to have more to work with than we did just as recently as 2 weeks ago.
Which, again, just shows how quickly all of this is moving, and that's not surprising given the implications of such things. We have talked before about the fact that this mandate that was struck down by the Texas judge, there was a thought, I think, early on of, well, it's federal workforce, he's the president, he can impose this. And just like a private employer can establish certain rules and regulations, the trick is a government mandate. I found it fascinating that that this judge really, as you noted, tied into the U.S. Supreme Court decision about a mandate on private employers and made a connection with who, in essence, is the CEO of the federal workforce, namely the president. That seems to be a rather broad and telling interpretation.
Yes, and you know, the judge was very transparent about relying at least in part on that OSHA decision. So remember, the Supreme Court ruled on those consolidated cases, one about the healthcare workers, the other one, the Occupational Safety and Health Administration vaccine mandate. That was the one you're talking about for large private employers. So this Texas judge said that case, which was actually called NFIB versus OSHA, made clear that agency can impose workplace safety standards, but not public health measures. So if we just look at that language that was cited by the Texas court, you can see how easily that would apply in so many other instances, Jeff, that are trying to do the exact same thing. So it's really a victory for everybody that not necessarily is anti-vax, but just wants the choice. They want it to be their own choice, and they don't want to have it tied as a condition of employment. They don't want health and wealth tied together, no shot, no salary. And that is the people that are declaring this a victory.
Wendy Patrick joining us on the Todd Starn Show. She's on Twitter at Wendy Patrick PhD, website wendypatrickphd.com. All right, so as we try to make some sense of this body of work, these various rulings in various ways. Now, I may have missed one. I really have not seen any mandate upheld other than the healthcare workers one. I mean, basically, these have not been very successful as a matter of actual implementation. Is that the trend where you think this is going, or is it going to at some point become moot, either because the pandemic passes or because so many of these businesses put these in place before a court ruling, and so now you've got vaccination levels just as high, whether there's a mandate or not?
You know what's so interesting about that, Jeff, and you know, I talk about this with my colleagues every day. either of those two situations are plausible. They're more plausible now than they were 2 weeks ago because we have the decision on the OSHA mandate.
Right.
But remember what the UK just did in dropping a lot of its mandates and its restrictions. You have companies like Starbucks deciding to drop some of their mandates and restrictions. If in fact, and you know, they can argue it's because most people are vaccinated, which is true, but regardless of why, that would represent something that would make everybody happy. If cases continue to come down, if court cases continue to strike down mandates, wouldn't it be easier if there were some way to just sort of appease everyone by making a safe workplace? Maybe it's testing, maybe there are other things you can do without continually making these mandates. All it does, Jeff, is it keeps people like you and I in business. Now, of course, you and I don't practice that kind of law. That's a shame. But there are plenty. All it does is generate more litigation. We don't just need more litigation for the sake of it. If there's a better way to improve and maintain public health without a mandate. I hope that's the direction we're going in. Got a lot of hope and inspiration from some other countries like the United Kingdom and some of the things that they're doing. Let's regroup in a week, Jeff, and see where we are, because you're right. That is how fast the laws are changing.
Oh, I've made a lot of bad career decisions. I should have been in vaccination law. I could have made out.
You
like
and
a
me
bandit.
Both.
Yeah,
vaccination law.
Who knew? Who knew 30 years ago? Wendy, thanks so much for the insight. Always on point and always appreciated. Have an excellent day.
You as well. Thanks, Jeff.
News analyst and attorney Dr. Wendy Patrick. And gosh, if you go to Court TV and News Nation and Newsmax and One America News, I mean, she is very much in demand. You'll see her on all of these, and you can follow her on Twitter at Wendy Patrick PhD as well. 844-747-8868 is how you can join this coast-to-coast conversation. I'm Jeff Stein, filling in for Todd. Short break now. Your calls on the other side on this Monday edition of the Todd Stern Show.
Triggering microaggressions from coast to coast. It's Todd Starnes.
This hour of the Todd Stern Show from the Liberty University Studios. Hello, I'm Jeff Stein, filling in for Todd today. He'll be back tomorrow. 844-747-8868 is the number that you can call. One of the things that we were just talking about with Wendy Patrick, these mandates, and there was a point that I wanted to follow up on. You had the administration, you had the president saying, I'm putting mandates in place for businesses of a certain size. And a lot of businesses just sort of went along and put them in place, figuring either incorrectly that when the president says something, it immediately happens, which was not the case, or you've got they figure, well, it was going to happen sooner or later. And then it became the vessel through which this was going to be carried out was OSHA. And that has now failed. I mean, all of these have failed. And so now you're seeing businesses say, well, no, wait a minute. You know, I don't have to do it. The government isn't requiring me to do it. They didn't want to have to incur the cost of a lawsuit to challenge, et cetera. And now they're finding, A, they don't have to do it. B, it's not a popular policy to have a government mandate on a medical procedure. C, they can't find people to work on a good day, and this is just pushing good employees out the door. So then, D, they finally say, well, you know, maybe we don't need the vaccine mandate. Now, here's what I'm waiting for. The businesses are doing it because it's good business. Okay, it's just common sense. You need a barista to fill up your Grand Mocha Jumbo Super whatever. Just give me coffee, all right? Just give me coffee. But that's a different conversation. But here's the thing. You've got the president all this time harping on mandates, mandates, mandates. And so it scared enough people into getting jabbed that didn't want to. It wound up having, in a very perverse way, the same goal. The goal was to have this huge number of people vaccinated. All right, you threatened to make it a requirement, and lo and behold, a lot of people wound up getting vaccinated. But again, where's the prevention of the disease? Most of the time when you hear the word vaccination, it's to prevent a disease, not to make the symptoms less severe. They've literally changed the definition of vaccination on the CDC website to fit the facts of this particular situation as opposed to the truth. So they've already gotten the goal. And the reason why this still needs to be litigated and pushed and pursued is precedent. If this is wrong for government to be dictating your medical treatment in a one-size-fits-all way, any rules or regulations that might be in place need to be challenged, because otherwise they'll be used as precedent the next time some government wants to claim a crisis and grab power. That's what it comes down to. I've heard some people say, well, what's the point? You know, let's just not bother with it. Omicron's almost done, et cetera, et cetera. You cannot risk any legal precedent that some of these power-grabbing individuals can take and use in a later situation to get their way, to use in a later situation against you and me and anyone else. The concept of, well, this is a pandemic. We have to, well, all right, what's the implications of that? The implication of just going along with something that you know isn't right because there's a pandemic, you've just set precedent for the next time. That's why I'm so glad that the court struck down the use of OSHA, the Occupational Safety and Health Administration, refusing to expand OSHA's powers, because if you run a business, chances are you already have some concerns about how broad OSHA's reach is to this point in your organization. If they start broadening that, is that going to help your business, help the safety of your employees, or is it just growing another government fiefdom, an out-of-control federal agency? We have far too much government as it is. So many layers that it has become dysfunctional. And it's that darn Washington mindset. You know, there was a proposal during the Trump administration to move some of these departments, like move the Ag Department from Washington to the Midwest. Move the Interior Department to Wyoming. And there were some who were against it and said, well, it's still going to have the Washington mentality because you're going to have these same people running these agencies. I don't think so. I love the Midwest, but I can tell you there are going to be some people who don't want to work for an agency based in the Midwest. That's how you break the swamp mentality. You break the swamp mentality, friends, by breaking up the swamp. This is how you drain it. Maybe that's what we need. I have great confidence in the American people. I don't have great confidence in this thing that Washington has become. 2 hours down, one to go. Jeff Stein filling in for Todd. I am so grateful you're here. You are listening to The Todd Starn Show.
From the Liberty University Studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
Wherever you're listening across this, the greatest nation God ever blessed, welcome to hour number three of this Monday edition of the Todd Starn Show, coast to coast on more than 100 tremendous radio stations and streaming live with the show blog at toddstarns.com. Hello, fellow patriots. I'm Jeff Stein, filling in for Todd today. Very happy to report that his cataract surgery was successful, and he'll be right back in the Liberty University studio behind the microphone tomorrow. I'm coming to you today from my home base, News Talk 1540 KXEL, proud Starnes Media affiliate, the 50,000-watt blowtorch scorching middle America with accurate news and reasonable views. Always a privilege to talk with you folks in Starnes Nation. And let's continue that conversation on the phone, if you'd be so kind. Give us a call, same number as always. Miss Grace will be happy to connect you, 844-747-8868. That's 844-747-8868. Coming up after our bottom of the hour break, return guest to the program, Sarah Westwood of the Washington Examiner. She actually apparently sat through that Joe Biden marathon news conference last week. Wow. Talk about hazard duty. What's even worse is trying to keep up with all of the fact-checking that's necessary. Yes, it's not just Donald Trump who needs to be fact-checked, you mainstream media folks, formerly mainstream media folks. Let's play this game fair and square, and we'll do that with Sarah Westwood in less than 30 minutes. But again, your chance to get in and continue the conversation at 844-747-8868. I've been very concerned lately about lack of quality information. And lack of quality information can come from people who are purveyors of information being biased themselves, frankly being too stupid and not knowing that what they're putting out there is just a talking point, the censorship, and the fact that we just don't cotton to any kind of healthy disagreement anymore. And Grace Baker shared with me something. This is apparently from The View from this morning. I believe Todd refers to the participants in that program as the squawking magpies. It's a very fair assessment. But the bottom line is that Bill Maher, on his entertainment program, right, his HBO program, I don't know if they still call it politically incorrect, whatever it is. It's supposed to be comedy, entertainment, etc., and he does a little monologue. And essentially he was saying, look, I've had it with everybody's paranoia and this stuff about masks. Now, keep in mind, the CDC is the one who said those homemade cloth masks, nice try, they don't work. And the masks that you think of from TV shows that doctors wear, really, if you want to have a mask, it really needs to be an N95 mask. Now, we can debate whether that's even necessary. But the bottom line is the federal government has changed its view on masks. So Bill Maher makes a point during what was a comedic monologue about, I'm just tired of this paranoid world. And Whoopi Goldberg takes him to task. That's not funny to people who've lost family members. Well, right. Okay. That's fine. But he's not a journalist. He's not trying to convey a news story. He's commenting on one of the absurdities of life. And if you're so narrowly focused to not understand that, then I would respectfully suggest you're the one who needs the attitude adjustment. I don't know how many times I have seen this, and I don't go out that much just because it's a personality thing. I don't like people. They don't like me. You probably figured that out already. Anyway, I did a speaking appearance yesterday, and it was at a facility where they said masks are encouraged but not required. And I'm speaking, I'm not going to wear a mask. I don't even know where a mask is that I could wear. All right, that's how far off of the track of wearing masks I am. I don't go to stores if I have to wear a mask. And actually, where I live, here in Iowa, it's a free state. We're so proud to still be, after all these years, a free state. And you don't have to do this. Well, in any event, there were a number of people in the audience, and virtually all of them had masks. Well, that's fine. You want to wear a mask? Wear a mask. I don't care. I noticed a number of them are homemade and probably not of much value, but if it makes you feel better, I don't care. Don't tell me what to do, but you do what you want. That's fine. You do you. But what was funny was they're seated a fair distance apart, a little bit of social distancing going on. These folks are wearing masks, and they're wonderful people. I had great questions. It was a great presentation. But then when it was done and they started getting together and meeting up with friends in the outer area, in order to carry on the conversation, what did they do? They got close to one another, right, so you could hear each other and have the conversation, and then they all took off their masks. So when you're sitting there far apart, you're wearing the mask, but then you get close to one another to have a conversation and you take the masks off. I'm not sure I understand. That's the point of this paranoia that we have about it. But according to Whoopi Goldberg, God forbid that you actually talk about it or talk about the absurdity of it. Again, keep in mind, the folks that we're supposed to be following, the CDC, all guidance comes from the CDC. Every business follows the CDC, so then it won't have to worry about getting sued. Hey, don't sue me for not having a good work environment. I followed the CDC. Never mind how much they're wrong and how much they change. Okay, fine, I get it. As a lawyer, I understand the insulation you're trying to put there. But we can't even have a conversation about it. We can't even say, make sport of the fact that some of these things are rather silly. Same thing, and this is what I love, is how heroes of one side become heroes of the other side. You know, some of the comments on the social media, which really should be called anti-social media, about this Bill Maher thing, right? He's no longer a reliable voice for the left. So you see some of these people say, well, I bet he gets a show on Fox next. Oh, for crying out loud, really? You use brain cells composing that tweet? Robert F. Kennedy Jr. I don't think people look at him as a conservative. I met him once. Liberal. Proudly liberal. But he has questions about how COVID has been handled. And now the left is blackballing the book that he wrote with hundreds of footnotes on the topic. Was a hero of the left, not adhering to the party line, so now he's shunned by them. And now welcomed by the right. It's just ridiculous to some degree on both sides. Alan Dershowitz, another great example. Huge liberal. Actually had the audacity to say that sometimes Donald Trump wasn't treated well. Whoa, well, you no longer can sit at our table at lunch. You can no longer be one of the cool kids. And it's just ludicrous. It's just ridiculous. But this is what's happening, is that if you don't abide by the talking points and the party line, you're gone. We don't care. We'll cancel you out. We'll make fun of you on our channel. I'm tempted to say I love it when they turn on themselves, but it's a broader problem than that. I mean, it just shows you how disingenuous these people have always been and how afraid they are to hear anything that is contrary to their viewpoint. 844-747-8868. That's the number that Chris called from Collierville, listening on the flagship, the mighty 990 KWAM. Let's hear from you, Chris, before we take our first break this hour. How are you?
I'm fine, Mr. Stein. Thank you for taking my call, and thank God that everything's good with Todd.
Amen.
I do believe that God has his hands on Todd, because Todd is very important to the work that needs to be done.
Yes, sir.
I just wanted to say this real quick. It really kind of struck me. I know of a pediatrician, okay, full-blown pediatrician, and her husband, I'm not going to say who they are or how I know them or where they live.
Sure.
And her husband is a corporate attorney. And for these past 2 years, in this big liberal city in the South where they live, basically it has been, have everything delivered to your home, okay? You guys can go to work, but as soon as you go to work, you got to go straight home, because we are COVID tracing you, okay?
Right.
If you try to go to a restaurant, you're going to get an alert on your phone. We know where you've been, and then we're going to take a... And so if people can't see that what the left has done to some of these big cities and states, basically, if you think about it, they have taken these big states and these big cities and turned them into modern-day concentration camps. Think about it. During a concentration camp in World War II, you had a job to do. You went and you did your job, and then you returned back to your hut or your shack or wherever you were supposed to be. And that's all you did. And so if people can't go out and enjoy their lives aside from their work, then that's the way that I view it, that we have turned certain areas of the country into concentration camps where, oh, it's okay for you to go to work, but you're not going to be able to go out to dinner for your second year anniversary or anything like that. And then I'd like to tell you, my sister sent a message this weekend that her first grader, he is quarantined because of supposed COVID exposure in his class, but yet all the parents have said, none of us have COVID and none of our children have COVID. And her husband has to quarantine because of supposed exposure at work. And my younger sister is liberal, okay? She's not so liberal far left, okay? She's conservative on certain things.
Sure.
But when she described it, she said, I am so sick and tired of the COVID manure show. You can use the S word for manure. That's how she described it.
Yes,
when
sir.
She uses that kind of language, and she being liberal,
yes,
then that tells you that people of all spectrums are really tired of this whole bunch of junk. And I'm so glad that the Senate is having that vaccine committee today. There have been a lot of things that have come out where neglect and abuse is being, it's actually coming out in the woodwork now. So these doctors have taken bravery to stand up there and say what we observed was completely wrong. You wouldn't let us use therapeutics to treat patients. You wouldn't let us do this and that. And so I'm glad that that committee is happening today. But thank you for taking my call, Mr. Stein. I really enjoy it when you fill in for Todd. You do such a great job. And thanks to everybody over there at the Mighty 990.
Chris, you're most kind and also most intelligent. What a very good call. Thank you so much. Calling in from Collierville on the flagship, listening to the flagship in Memphis. Again, and we'll take a break and then take more of your calls on the other side at 844-747-8868. You know, bravery takes a variety of forms. And if you're a medical professional standing up against the establishment, that's a form of bravery. And I agree with the sentiment that Chris is expressing. There is a breaking point. There's a point at which you just say, you know what? Here's your mask. I'm not wearing it because it's not doing any good. You want to revise the definition of vaccination? You want to revise the definition of fully vaccinated to be 3, 4, 5 jabs? Enough is enough. And it is going to play out peacefully but strongly in communities large and strong or small across the country, and then at the ballot box in November, if we make sure it's a fair count. Take your calls in just a moment. Again, it's 844-747-8868. Starnes Nation is fantastic. Absolutely. Jeff Stein filling in for Todd. You're listening to the Todd Starnes Show.
You're listening to Todd Starnes.
Sarah Westwood of the Washington Examiner joins us live here on the Todd Starnes Show just after the bottom of the hour. I'm Jeff Stein filling in for Todd today. He did have successful cataract surgery. We're blessed to be able to report that, and he'll be back tomorrow. Like to hear from you today, though, at 844-747-8868. There are so many ways that you can connect with this program. Obviously, toddstarnes.com, and through that, you got the live stream. You can check it out on the Facebook and Rumble and YouTube and all of those good things. If you miss any of the program or would like to hear a segment again afterwards or perhaps share a segment with a friend, there's the Toddcast podcast. And again, you can click on that link right there on the main page of toddstarnes.com. And we know you like apps. And there is an app for the flagship radio station, the Mighty 990, KWAM, KWAM Radio. So if you go to your app store, search for, and I found it today again. Now, I've had it on my phone for a long time. I've had the KWAM app on my phone for a while. But if you do not have it, you can either type KWAM or type the word Starnes in your app store and then download the app. Now, 1 week left in this killer competition of popularity. When you download the KWAM radio app, it will say, well, who referred you? How'd you hear about us? And I've been listening to this battle go on. You can type Grace, you can type Kyle. And in the end, apparently there's going to be a fantastic prize to whoever gets the most people to say, yes, I got this app and I was referred to by Kyle or Grace. I think there's probably strong recognition for Merlot in there. I'm curious about the write-in campaign. I'm curious about how many people put something different. I know that the move here is to make this a two-party race. Once again, manifestation of the two-party system in America. Download the KWAM radio app so that you get the Todd Starnes Show and all of the great conservative programming on the conservative blowtorch of the Mid-South, the Mighty 990. And when you're asked, well, who referred you? Type in Kyle, type in Grace. I just wonder, though, if there's time for a write-in campaign. I don't know. It's just something to think about. But it's a great app to have. And again, you can follow Todd on all the socials, on Instagram at Todd Starnes FNC, Twitter, Getter, Parler, Gab, all at Todd Starnes. If you'd like to follow me, love to have you interact with me on the socials. I'm on everything that I have at Iowa Politics. People misspell my name. They have for six decades. So I just go with at Iowa Politics, IOWA Politics. Obviously, I talk about more than just that. At Iowa Politics on Twitter, Getter, Parler, and Instagram. And my station is KXEL. So if you go to KXEL.com, you'll see all of our social media. And I do a daily commentary, which we put on Facebook and Rumble and YouTube. And if you go to my website, which is totallyiowa.com, you'll see the three daily audio podcasts I do, and you can click on them or you can subscribe, get it wherever fine podcasts are served. So when I spoke with Sarah Westwood of the Washington Examiner on my radio program in Iowa, which is on right before Todd's show, by the way, we were talking that day about a week ago of this, or a week and a half ago, about Joe Biden going to Atlanta and just harping about voting rights and had to be brought up short because he was inaccurate. Well, that didn't stop him. Two-hour whopper of a news conference last week. We'll break it down when Sarah Westwood joins us. I'm Jeff Stein, filling in for Todd. Short break now, back on the other side on the Todd Starnes Show. Inside the Liberty University studio, this is the Todd Starnes Show, coast to coast. I'm Jeff Stein, filling in for Todd, who had successful cataract surgery today. He will be back with you tomorrow. 844-747-8868 is the number to call. And if you're on the line, hold. We'll get to you in just a few moments. But now I want to go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line to speak with a return guest to this program, Sarah Westwood. Is a political and investigations reporter for the Washington Examiner, WashingtonExaminer.com. Sarah, thanks so much for taking the time. How are you?
I'm great. Thanks for having me.
The last time you and I spoke on my Iowa program, you broke down and pointed out the Pinocchios with regard to Joe Biden's address on voting rights in Georgia. In Atlanta. And I thought, boy, that was tough duty to have to go through that. Well, yeah, you did yourself. You had to sit through that two-hour news conference last week. What was the most egregiously wrong or misleading thing that the president said during that first statement and then series of pre-planned questions that he issued responses to?
Oh, it's tough to choose. There was a lot to unpack in that 2 hours. I think in terms of that prepared opening statement, which, you know, was the most coherent part of the president's remarks that day, he sort of completely mischaracterized what his Build Back Better legislation would do and reframed it. And this is a common thing that a lot of congressional Democrats have been doing is, well, but reframed it as a solution to inflation, as something that's necessary to bring down prices in response to, obviously, the growing concern of a lot of voters, even though that legislation was written before inflation became a problem. If you were going to write some bill that was going to bring down the prices of goods, this is not the legislation that you would come up with. There are many experts who believe that actually the bill would contribute significantly to inflationary pressures. But Biden reframing that plan as something that is necessary to bring down prices is, I think, sort of a bait and switch for voters that Democrats are trying to use now as they attempt to salvage the president's proposal. But it's really disingenuous and misrepresents what the effects of the bill would be. And then throughout the press conference, he was asked repeatedly about voting rights, because this is a main focus of Democrats on Capitol Hill and the White House right now. And again, the president was also very disingenuous in misrepresenting what it is that Republicans in states that have changed their voting laws are trying to do and what it is that Democrats want to do to correct for that.
Well, and in addition to it, it is such a duplicitous argument, and arguably will confuse anyone, an average person listening, because they want to say that the 2020 election at a variety of places was the 2020 election was fine. The 2016 election, though, was rigged. That's how Trump got in there. 2020 was fine. Nothing to see here. But we are on the precipice of democracy being thrown into the trash heap of history if we don't federalize elections immediately before this fall. There's no consistency of argument, and I can't imagine how that argument then can have traction, because, again, you and I follow this quite closely, but the average person is saying, wait, you just said it was fine, and now you say we have to take all of these huge measures. That's not resonating well, is it?
That's right. I think that's one of many reasons why the voting rights push from Democrats has gone nowhere. It's completely inconsistent messaging. You could argue that Biden, during that press conference, did just as much to undermine faith in upcoming elections as Trump ever did. And I think that Biden rightfully received some sort of bipartisan pushback to the way that he framed the question of legitimacy of the 2022 election. But what I wrote about in that piece and what I think is sort of a notable shift in Democrats' messaging is that you didn't hear him talk at all that day about whether it would be harder or easier for people to vote. He wasn't talking about voter ID. He wasn't talking about voting by mail or any of the other policy areas that are normally part of the conversation. But what he was talking about was this false accusation against Republicans that they're trying to change outcomes of elections. And in response to multiple questions, he warns that if the laws in Georgia and Texas and some other states weren't changed, then Republican officials would be placed in positions to change elections. That's completely false. And there is no Republican law that would allow any official to do that. And in fact, what Republicans are proposing would put even more regulations and restrictions on how the outcomes of elections are determined, and chain of custody rules about paper ballots and when and how they can be stored and who can handle them. So Republicans are actually doing, making reforms that go in the opposite direction of what Biden said. But the messaging is shifting now to suggest that outcomes may be changed. That's a much more serious and much more misleading accusation.
And because it's much more serious, they obviously think that they can frighten enough people into going along with what they say they want to do. That's their theory anyway.
Right. I mean, they've used a number of different tactics. You're right that this particular one that we heard last week seems to be fear-based, but we've also seen them try to use race as a way to motivate people to implement these changes, or at least support the changes that they're trying to get through Congress, suggesting that anyone who doesn't support what they're trying to do wants to make it harder for people of color to vote. The court systems have not been agreeing with Democrats when those laws have been challenged, that the laws do disparately impact people of color. In the states that have implemented some of the changes that Republicans want over the years, that those states have not seen significant impacts on the ability of people of color to vote. So there's actually just documented evidence that those laws do not do what Democrats are suggesting, but trying to use fear, trying to use these spurious accusations of racism, that's really the only tool Democrats have right now because they don't have the numbers nor control of enough state legislatures to get this done the normal way.
Sarah Westwood of the Washington Examiner joining us on the Todd Starn Show. Jeff Stein filling in for Todd today. She's on the Twitter machine at Sarah C. Westwood. There's some blowback from those in various minority communities, is there not, who say, wait a minute, what you people are saying, Mr. President and others, you're in essence saying that people of color are not intelligent enough to figure this stuff out without the benevolent help of you folks in the party. That's got to have some blowback, I would think.
Right. I mean, the Democrats always make this claim about the voting reforms that Republicans are pursuing, right? That it's going to make it harder for people of color to vote. And the follow-up question of how is rarely asked, you know? How is, yes, you know, codifying polling hours across the state so that different counties aren't having polling places open at different hours going to make it harder for people of color to vote? And so I think you are seeing a shift from a lot of voting rights advocates away from trying to use that really racialized language and focus on the effects of the voting reforms. For example, Stacey Abrams, who's running for governor in Georgia, has come out and supported the idea of implementing voter ID in Georgia and beyond. She's someone who obviously champions the voting rights issue before it was as in vogue as it is now. So you are seeing some of those activists start to move away from that kind of rhetoric because it's really alienating to people. And it's also just pretty easily proven false. And even the media has started to really look at what the Democrats in the White House has been saying about voting with some new skepticism because they've gone so far rhetorically.
And of course, Stacey Abrams had an amazing scheduling conflict, so she couldn't be seen with the president. You know, of Beto O'Rourke running for governor of Texas, failing badly and now basically saying he doesn't want anybody from out of town, including the president, coming to help. It's a bad position for a president in a first term when other Democrats are basically saying, if you could just socially distance yourself to, oh, I don't know, another state, another time zone. That's not usually how this works, is it?
It's not. I think it's a reflection of just how unpopular Joe Biden is becoming. And everything he does to try to change this seems to be making the problem worse. It's hard to really see what his end game is here for him to try to bring those numbers up, because he sort of moved away from one unpopular piece of legislation that he was unable to get through Congress to something that's even more radical, even further left, and even less likely to succeed. So sort of just setting himself up in terms of the voting rights fight for another failure. And during that press conference that we've been talking about last week, it was interesting that Biden said repeatedly that what he was going to do differently in this new year is that he's going to get out on the road more and campaign with midterm Democrats. And it's really not clear if that's going to be of help. And in fact, he might be pledging to actively hurt his party, given how unpopular he is and given that all the places where Democrats will be most on defense, those suburbs that sort of swung to Democrats during the Trump years, are all the places where Biden is least popular, all the places that he's likely to go if he's trying to campaign for endangered Democrats. So it's hard to see how that could be helpful for anyone. And what he's been doing to try to turn the ship around, so to speak, has really just been exacerbating the problem.
You've got those Democrats who are running for office saying, oh, don't help me so much. I'm good. I'm good by myself. Sarah, such excellent reporting. And boy, put in for combat pay for having to not only watch that whole news conference, but then fact check it. You can search for her story at this at WashingtonExaminer.com. Sarah Westwood, thanks so much. Continue the excellent reporting. We'll talk again soon.
Thanks for having me.
Sarah Westwood of the Washington Examiner joining us live on the Todd Starn Show. 844-747-8868. Let's see if we can get Pastor John from Kentucky in before we take this break. And then, Jerry Lynn, you hold on. I'd like to talk to you before the end of the program as well. Pastor John, Jeff Stein filling in for Todd. How are you?
Hey there, Mr. Stein. I just want to make a real quick comment. You know how they're always talking about these masks and all these other things? Yeah. Have you ever seen the meme where you see a soldier in the middle of the desert with a complete I experienced that because prior service. I had to wear the complete chemical protective suit with the mask, with the filter, with the hood. If you want real protection, folks, go buy yourself a surplus one. Then you might get protection from this COVID-19, because honestly, that's the only way you're going to get protection.
Well, first of all, thank you for your service. And the true point of fact is, if you've just got a rag that you pulled out of an old drawer and strap it across your face, I mean, that isn't going to serve anything. And anybody who served, as you did, they explain to you exactly the reason why you have to be all suited up like that, don't they?
Yeah, exactly, because it's got to protect you from whatever exposure from chemical, biological agents or anything. And right now, this COVID, actually, I believe it was a weaponized biological agent to affect the world and their health. So if you want to go, there's plenty of places where they help sell hazmat suits. If you want to do it, do it. But other than that, we've got the vaccines out there. We've got the other type of treatments. So that stuff is actually protecting our bodies, and we have the natural immunity once we get adjusted to it. But I just wanted to bring that up, Mr. Stein, and great show today, and God bless all of you.
Thank you so much for calling in from Kentucky, Pastor John. I've got my family comes from Kentucky. I got to figure out exactly where, because I might have kin folks there in Kentucky. Pastor John might be related to me. I'm not sure he'd claim that, but I would claim it. But he probably won't. All right, Jerry Lynn, you hold on the line. We'll get to you after this break. 844-747-8868. Time for one more segment. We'll do it after this break on the Todd Starnes Show.
It's the Todd Starnes Radio Show.
Todd Starnes Show. Todd was out today for cataract surgery, and as I posted on social media, if you thought he saw things clearly before, oh, you just wait. You won't have long to wait. Successful surgery, Todd Starnes back here in the Liberty University studio tomorrow. I'm Jeff Stein filling in for Todd. Let's go now to the phones, and Jerry Lynn is calling in. She's listening to the program on North Georgia's News Talk, WDUN. Jerry Lynn, thanks for taking the time. What's on your mind today?
Oh, hey, Jeff. Thank you so much for filling in for my sweet Todd.
He's the best.
Comment.
Yes.
He is, but you're good too, Jeff. So
thank you, man.
I just want to make a comment, Jeff, that I'm in Georgia.
Yeah.
So, you know, we're going through the deal where Ratzenberger and Kemp, the two biggest crooks, honey, they think they're going back in, but they're not. They made the backdoor deal with Stacey Abrams in the dead of night. But anyway,
right.
On this vaccine and all, Jeff, I have a neighbor of mine, and he is a retired scientist that worked in the lab for 33 years. And from day one, Jeff, from day one, we only had one man at this time that had the COVID. I believe he was in Washington State. But anyway, my neighbor nailed it. He told me, he said, Jerry Lynn, when they do roll out a vaccine, it will not protect you from getting COVID. And I said, what do you mean? That's what vaccines are for. He said, no, ma'am. This vaccine that's going to be coming out is going to be strictly to depopulize and track you. So let me tell you, Jeff, I have a good friend of mine in Florida. She went to go get the vaccine. Make a long story short, she didn't want to take it, but she went on to take it out of fear.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, she got ready to leave, and she told the doctor, she said, listen, because of my health condition, I cannot go through another COVID test, and I go travel to Mexico several times throughout the year. She said, I need something to show that I've been vaccinated. He said, well, we're not giving out. This was in the beginning. Jeff, he said, well, we're not giving out anything right now, But just be patient, because we're having to give the vaccine in the same place, the same arm, and it comes with what we call, scientists call, a biometric chip tattoo. She said, what are you talking about? He said, well, eventually they'll be able to shine a light on your arm, and it'll show that you were vaccinated. Do you know my neighbor, Jeff, told me that? He said, girl, they're not going to tell the American people that. Guess who owns the patent to the chip, and you can fact check it, Jeff? Bill Gates. So I'm telling you, there is a host of lies going around. And he's told me. I got a friend of mine that's been vaccinated twice and boosted. And guess what, Jeff? She's had COVID three times now.
It is just staggering. And Jerry Lynn, we're up against the end of the show, but thank you so much for calling in from Georgia. The fact that you can't even ask these questions, the fact that you can't get straight information from the government that you would believe, the fact that you can't even discuss it, I could tell you, I could fill 3 hours of this program, I won't, but I could, with people who have had adverse side effects, the host of this program is one of them, quite obviously, from the vaccination. But we can't talk about it. We can't talk about the fact that some folks might have these lingering situations. We can't talk about the fact that you might have a rash that never goes away. We can't talk about any of it, because it gets in the way of one-size-fits-all medicine. It gets in the way of the narrative that Jerry Lynn was just talking about. There's something going on here, isn't there? All right. So why in the world are we so suspicious of the government? Gee, I don't know. Maybe it's because they have given us reason to be suspicious. Just the mere fact that these people in power now in the White House went on and on about, you know, if Donald Trump had anything to do with this vaccine, I'm not going to take it. Now they want you to take it. Well, how do you play that game? Were you lying to us then, or are you lying to us now? Kind of the way we began the show, talking about how people are looking for anybody but Joe Biden. And unfortunately, that's who we have right now. So let's pray for his good health and success so that America does not decline. Thank you, Kyle. Thank you, Grace. Thank you, Mr. Starnes. Todd is back tomorrow. I'm Jeff Stein. What a great time today. Thank you, folks, for participating in this Monday edition of the Todd Starnes Show.
Three-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.